If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are talking about don't be taking any wooden nickels unless you're in Tenino, Washington. Joining me today is the mayor of Tenino, Washington, Wayne Fournier. So welcome to the show, Wayne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I hear that you're making your own currency in your city. So isn't that illegal? I mean, isn't that one of those things like counterfeit?
You're counterfeiting if you're trying to replicate the currency that already exists. But, we are not exactly, we're kind of in a gray area if what we're doing is completely kosher or not. But nobody has told us we can't. From my understanding, and I have no idea what I'm talking about, but the state cannot produce currency. But there's nothing saying that local jurisdictions can't produce currency. And there's all kinds of stuff in the Constitution that says if it's not explicitly prohibited, that all of our little locales should be considered laboratories of democracy. And you should be doing whatever the hell you want and whatever you can for the betterment of your community. And that's what we feel we're doing.
Well, part of what you just said comes from the U.S. Constitution. That's Article 1, Section 8, that says, that says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin as a tender in payment of debts. Well, as we know now, in this day and age, nobody's using gold and silver. It's all credit card or it's just in the Ethernet. You know, you swipe your phone. So nobody's even doing
What is money, right? What is currency?
Right.
That question comes up a lot. And, the gentleman I was talking to on a different podcast, and he was going into the history of, the first kind of inklings of money were these, little clay beads and ancient Sumeria that were backed by sheep in the communal pen, and the counterfeit was guarded against because there was only one guy that could fire these clay beads the right way. And so if I started producing clay beads, am I making money? I don't know.
Well, now that we know that you are making your own currency, tell us what that currency is and why you decided to create the currency to begin with.
So in 1931, our city, just like everyone else in the throes of the Great Depression, had a run on the banks, and all the physical currency just disappeared. And so when people were coming into the bank to get money, there was nothing to give them. They'd have money on the books, but nothing physical to hand to the depositors. So the Chamber of Commerce here in Tenino at the time, they came up with the idea of producing their own physical currency. So we did it in the Great Depression in the 30s, but the Chamber of Commerce did it, and they backed the money with 25% of the deposits that were in the bank. And at the time, it went crazy. The world was talking about Tenino. A lot of other communities throughout the country started producing their own local currencies. And then, we've always kind of talked about it around here, and it's been something that, we celebrate in our history. And so when we saw the recession coming to do with this pandemic or whatever this is going to be called when it's done, there's no denying that there's not going to be, bad financial impact. We started kicking around ideas of what we could do to help people and what we could do to kind of keep the economic engine turning a little bit. And this is the idea that made sense for us.
So what the city did, Tenino, in the 1930s is actually make currency out of wood, is my understanding.
Yep. In the Pacific Northwest, we've got wood. We've got it in abundance.
Right.
And, the stars aligned just right where there was like a traveling salesman from Blaine, Washington, coming through town with rolls of this wood veneer that he had sold to somebody. And then, just through happenstance, the city leadership got together and, hey, remember those strips of wood that we got from that guy that was traveling through town a couple weeks ago? Let's put it on the printing press and make money out of it. That's my understanding. That's kind of how it went down. And we had this 1890s letter press that was used for the newspaper, and they did some changes to it and made it to where it could print off money. And so when we wanted to do this again, we actually have that same printing press in our museum. And we went in there and the thing's meticulously cared for. We fired it up and we're using the exact same printing press that we did almost 100 years ago to print money.
Wow. I'm assuming you changed the date. Like if I get a coin from the U.S. Mint, it says the year that it was minted. Did you put a date on your currency you're printing now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you get online, you can see examples of the currency. And it's a really, really cool looking piece. And it was done by a local artist. The original 1931 dollar has a picture of George Washington in the middle. And there's like these kind of starbursts behind him. And we've kind of redone that image a little bit, but made it more contemporary. And there's a little bat in the corner for the COVID-19 thing. And they're slick looking dollars. And we're pretty proud of it.
Is that all you've printed are just dollar bills, or do you have different denominations of money?
We only print $25 bills.
I want to see a $25
yeah.
bill.
It's a $25 bill. And the thought is that, these COVID dollars, we're calling them, they go to individuals that are having a hard time, and it's for staples. It's for groceries, gas, childcare, things like that. And a $25 piece is kind of, you're not going to go to the store and buy groceries and spend less than $25.
Probably. We need to take a little break. When we come back, I want to go further into how you're backing your COVID dollars and a little bit more about how people can spend the money and where. So we'll be right back with Mayor of Tenino, Washington, Wayne Fournier.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way whatsoever, we're talking about it. And today we're talking about those wooden nickels that you're never, ever, ever supposed to accept unless you hit the town of Tenino, Washington. Joining me today is Mayor of Tenino, Washington, Wayne Fournier. And we've been talking about this wooden currency that you have brought back.
That's right.
In the last segment, we talked a little bit about the history of the wooden money you have, but who qualifies for this money?
So we have an application process, and number one, you have to be a resident of the city of Tenino because it's funded through primarily Tenino city property taxes. And you come in and you apply, and you have to show that you have been affected by the pandemic, like negatively. So you have to be able to show us that you've lost hours, lost wages, lost your job. And then after you've done that, based on your income level, you can qualify for up to 300 COVID dollars a month.
This isn't weekly, it's only monthly?
Correct.
Okay. And I know you said this is backed by property taxes, but how are you? So let's say I qualify, you've handed me $300. And I go to the grocery store in Tenino, because you already said that that only residents of Tenino can use this money. But I go to the grocery store and give them just 25 or maybe 50 COVID dollars, as you're calling it. But the grocery store uses that money to pay their distributors. Those distributors usually aren't local to your own city. So how is the grocery store paying their distributors?
The grocery store can then come into the city and they can redeem the value of at the U.S. dollar rate. So the city backs it 1-to-1. However, because of the, I guess the novelty, I'm not exactly sure, but we haven't, we've distributed money, but very, very little has come back into the city. So these, these businesses are either circulating themselves or people are holding on to these things. The city is going to pay you 1-to-1, but there are interests throughout the world that are interested in these dollars that are willing to pay 10 times the value.
So
we back it, but we're not having, we have a $10,000 liability to back, but none of it has come back. It's either being circulated or people just want these dollars and they hold on to them.
Wow. So if I am a coin collector and I could actually start advertising like, hey, who's got these COVID dollars in Tenino? I'll pay you $100 for one $25 wooden bill.
Yeah. Yeah. Our businesses it's kind of slowed down, but every business's phone was ringing off the hook. City Hall's phone was ringing off the hook. People from all over the world were calling, trying to see who had them, and now weeks later, I'm seeing them on eBay for about $300 to $400 a piece.
Oh my gosh!
So the exchange rate is higher outside of Tenino for our money.
Do you want to consider that illegal? I mean, this money was supposed to be used just for the residents of Tenino, and if people are making a profit off of that, is that kosher?
Our intention, all of this seems kind of extra legal. I wouldn't say illegal, but our intention is to help our residents and our businesses. And so if we give somebody $300 in our wooden COVID dollars and they're able to go buy lunch, go buy groceries, or they're able to exchange it for more money, they're still being helped. Our hope is that these will circulate around in our community and get used, but there's a free market aspect. And like, I've even seen businesses here offering more in goods. So there is an exchange rate, right? There's businesses that are advertising that if you come in with a COVID dollar, we'll give you $50 in our goods for 25 in COVID dollars. because our dollar is more valuable than the U.S. dollar.
Right. Well, at first, when you were explaining how this worked, it was reminiscent of maybe food stamps, how people would use food stamps. But food stamps aren't that valuable. So now we're looking at more of a barter system, it sounds like.
Yeah, and you can't use the food stamps as currency. I couldn't. Legally, I think if I was to go pay like my daycare with food stamps, you can't do that. You can only use it for those specific commodities. But this can be used to satisfy all kinds of debts.
Really? So I could walk in with $300 of the COVID dollars, you're calling them, my childcare place, pay that off. I could go to my hairdresser. I could. Mm-hmm. It isn't just for groceries.
Correct.
Electricity, my utilities, can I pay that?
PSE is a big corporation. They'd be akin to Walmart or something like that. So I don't think that would work.
Oh,
no.
Okay. You said you were
your telephone bill, maybe. We have a local telephone company.
You do.
And I'll tell you, if you were to walk into the telephone company and throw those down on the desk, the person working the desk would probably want to buy them from you, and that's how you get your utility bill paid.
Nice. You said you're only printing $25 bills. What if I ran out of toilet paper? I have all the food I need, but I ran out of toilet paper, and that's the only thing I need to get at the store. How do I get change back on a $25 COVID?
So if you're going to be a business that accepts it, I guess anyone off the books could accept this, but you're not going to be able to go and redeem it with the city unless you're a certified participant. And to be a certified participant, and there's an honor system to this. If you're a certified participant, you have to say that you're not going to sell alcohol, tobacco, lottery tickets, marijuana, and you will not give change greater than 99 cents. We didn't want somebody to go get $300 and then go and buy a pack of gum and walk out with $299. I mean, once the thing got going, we knew that that wasn't, you know, the reason that wouldn't be a reasonable thing because, you know, these wooden dollars are more valuable. But we did put that into the agreement.
I understand those reasons, but I'm thinking, man, if I am out of work and my kids are having to learn online at school, and the only money I've got coming in are these COVID dollars, I really need to use them on alcohol because I need to drink. But I can't.
Yeah.
Legally, anyway.
I mean, there's always a gray market. I would imagine that there's people are pretty clever. And if there's always, if there's ever a way to get around a rule, people figure it out.
Yes, they do. How long do you plan to have these COVID dollars hanging around?
Officially, we've tied it to the pandemic. So we've got rules in our state constitution that say you cannot gift public funds. So that was our first hurdle, was getting over that. And in the constitution, it says that you can provide funds, use tax funds to provide for the welfare of your community. And if somebody is poor and infirmed, you can use the tax funds to help them. So the poor and infirmed was the main lingo that we had to figure out how to get around. So we declared an emergency and we tied in the need for the money to the emergency, and the poor and infirmed is satisfied by somebody saying that they've been harmed by the pandemic and that they've been and that they're destitute enough. And then we tied it into the length of that emergency decree, which we have said will take place until, the governor's Safe Start program is declared over. And at that point, there's a 90-day sunset for in which the city will no longer redeem the dollars after that. But that doesn't mean that these won't be valuable after that, because if you get on eBay and you're lucky enough to find some of the Tenino wooden money from the 1930s, there's 5-cent pieces that are selling for thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So these could be traded for the next 100 years, just like the original wooden money.
Wow. What is the maximum amount of funds you will have? I know you said this will go through the pandemic, but what if your property taxes only cover $10,000 worth of COVID dollars? Now, are you going to run out at some point if the pandemic continues for another year?
Perhaps, but we have a very healthy emergency fund. We had a very good several years where we were able to sock some money away, and that's kind of where this is coming from. And then on top of that, the publicity for this and the people from all over the world are like really happy and excited about this. But they've been sending us checks, sending the city, hey, we want to help. We want to pitch into that local currency program. So we've got a few thousand extra dollars to just throw on top. So we're pretty flush.
Nice. And what is the income limit for people who can apply for this program?
I don't know the exact numbers, but right now it's tied to the federal poverty guidelines. There's an index there. And, you have to be under a certain threshold to even qualify. And then based on your income level, there's a gradient of how much you would qualify for. We're talking about trying to figure out ways to open it up without going awry of the state constitution. Our community is in a census block that is considered more impoverished, so we're considering putting out a new resolution that says the entire community is qualified because the entire community is collectively impoverished enough, and then based on an income level, we would dole out the funds. But that's something we're trying to, as we reevaluate the program, that's something that we're kind of trying to look at.
Have you heard back from any of your residents saying that this has helped them or not?
Oh, yeah. There's been several people that have, as the media has come out, that have done interviews and given testimony. And I have people not actually, it's a small town, right? There's only 1,800 of us. So I had somebody knocking on my front door the other day. Hey, Wayne, can I get some more COVID money? And so City Hall closed on Monday. Can you wait till tomorrow? And can you actually go to City Hall? it's pretty interesting.
Nice.
Most interesting part of it is all the outside interest and the other cities that are starting to do this as well. So there's been several other cities throughout the country that I'm seeing either news articles about, or they're contacting us. They're getting copies of our ordinances. They're asking advice on how they can set it up in their own community. So I have no idea what the numbers are, but I know that there are a lot of other cities now doing the same thing throughout the country. And that is really exciting because it's not waiting for some federal stimulus that is going to come out and maybe we get some table scraps from Washington. It's communities pulling themselves up by their bootstraps and taking their own destiny into their own hands and injecting money right into their main street and into their people. That's cool.
That is. And thank you so much for going back into your history and doing something for your residents to help them out.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell us about your program or the COVID money?
I think that was pretty good. That was fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Wayne Fournier. You, again, are the mayor of Tenino, Washington. So if anybody wants to go through the town, you might be able to see some of the money, but you can't have it because you're not a resident. Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.